following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for our weekly visit with Union Men's Head Hockey Coach Josh Halsey. Josh, how's it going?
It's going well. Yourself?
Hanging in. Can't complain. Union was back at home at M&T Bank Center last weekend, facing the Central New York teams Colgate and Cornell, and coming off that wild 8-7 loss to Clarkson. What was the message heading into the Colgate matchup?
I think that we just kind of had made some mistakes, against Clarkson that we weren't really pleased with, but was proud of, how they battled back and, just wanted to get off to a good start.
Well, the lineups are introduced, the national anthem is sung, and the fans are settling into their seats. The puck has dropped, and it took just 11 seconds for Lucas Buzziol to open the scoring.
Here at M&T Bank Center, Matt Jabray, Andrew Santillo, Union College Hockey on ESPN+. Union gets an opportunity right away, they score! Just like that, 11 seconds in!
What a way to start, Josh. How big of a momentum boost was that?
Well, it's, kind of what we had talked about is, wanting to start fast. And, we got the puck in deep, created a turnover and a nice goal. So I thought, all signs pointed to us having a good night.
Yeah, unfortunately for Union, the game settles down and Colgate goes on a scoring spree. The Raiders score four goals in a 5:32 span, including 3 in 1:22. Max Nagel ignites this Colgate scoring at 9:20. Easton Wainwright gives the Raiders the lead at 10:06. And then Jake Schneider makes it 3-1 at 10:42. Things calm down for a little bit before Daniel Panetta scores a shorthanded goal at 14:52. It's 4-1 after one. What the hell happened?
Yeah, a little bit of just they play with a tremendous amount of pace and they put the pressure on you. And I thought, we got off to that start and I thought the first 10 minutes were really actually pretty good. Then they get the first one and then it's a quick two right back to back. And they happen at a weird time where, you're looking to call your timeout because we're not playing the best, but the next whistle is going to be a timeout. So you're just like, I don't know. It just, the wheels fell off there for a couple minutes.
Well, after dealing with a lower body injury, goalie Cameron Corpy made his first start since the Mayor's Cup game against RPI, and this was not the way he wanted to get back into action. I don't think he was to blame for any of those goals because there were results of either some turnovers or poor decisions made by his teammates. But was there any thought of replacing him to start the second period?
When you give up four in a period, I think you think about it for sure. But, we're able to watch him in between, and it was exactly as what we thought watching it live. There's nothing he can do, and they were big errors by us. You talk about miscues or bad decisions, and that's exactly what they were.
What was the mood like in the locker room after the period? I can't imagine it was fun, and what was said?
I think it was a little bit of just trying to settle down and figure out what exactly happened and what we need to do to correct it. Coach Ronan went in and actually ripped the team and gave them a little bit of a message, and then I went in and we talked about structure stuff and trying to just what we need to do to get back on track, and I thought the guys responded well.
Well, as we saw in the Clarkson game, Union would not let a deficit bother them. 3:24 into the second period, Tyler Dunbar starts the comeback.
Taken by Union, they could have some numbers here, led by Hanley, 2-on-1. Hanley, Dunbar scores! Tyler Dunbar! Just what the doctor ordered.
As you mentioned, those calls are courtesy of ESPN Plus with Matt Dubray and Andrew Santillo, of course, Union Athletics, sending those clips to me. I do appreciate that. How crucial was it to get a goal like that, Josh, early in the period?
Yeah, it was really important just for the, everybody's, mental state. I thought it was a really nice play by Nate Hanley. He's been playing some good hockey for us, and we needed that from him.
Well, then we started to see a big sequence of goals scored. Ben Muethersbach started it with 8:19 left in the period.
Shot save, rebound. Colgate comes up with it. Fan, there's a blast off the helmet of the netminder Dick. Another shot, they score! Ben Muethersbach! Takes it off the helmet of Dick and buries the rebound, and it's 4-3 Colgate.
It's 4-3 now, and shortly after that, Colgate's Simon LaBelle gets penalized for tripping. It didn't take long for Union's Riley Bruick to take advantage.
Left wing circle, right in front, they score!
Well, now it's 4-4 with 7:49 left in the second period. How exciting was it to have the game tied?
Yeah, it was from where we were to getting it back to even was huge, and was, you know, proud of the effort, and you know, a really nice play by Riley to get his stick free to tie that one up, and you know, with Brandon Beer being out, we needed someone to step up, and he did a really nice job.
Well, unfortunately for Union, the tie lasted just 3:13. Simon Dottie got past Carter Rose, who grabbed him and was called for holding. Corpy appeared to make the save, but Colgate sees something on video and challenges. And as Corpy was turning his body and making the save, I guess the puck crossed the goal line. We never saw a view of it on the replay. They don't show the overhead shot for or the ESPN Plus viewers or anybody or the fans in M&T Bank Center. So the referees award the goal. Rose's penalty gets wiped off, and the Raiders are back up 5-4. What's going through your mind at this point? Was it feeling a deja vu with the Clarkson game?
Well, I think a little bit, but at the same point, we're in the same boat. Like I was shocked because, you know, we thought it was just going to be a penalty kill, and the next thing you know, we're down one. So it was just, hey, we got to regroup now and battle back.
Well, the scoring is not done in the period. With 3 minutes left in the second, Nate Hanley gets a breakaway. He is tripped by Jake Schneider, and Hanley gets a penalty shot. And here's what happened.
The brand new M&T Bank Center of Hanley scores. Picks up. Slowly in, left side. Spot, score! Penalty shot goal, Nate Hanley! We're tied at 5!
How big was that?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, you know, play by him and, you know, nice finish. And, you know, give a little credit to our goalie coach, Brian McDonald, who, you know, pre-scouts each goalie and thought that that was a good place to shoot.
Well, the fans were just settling down after that when 17 seconds later, a Union faceoff win by Colby MacArthur leads to this.
Yeah, 5 different goal scorers for Union. Coming off the heels of the 8-7 game, Mueller's ball off the faceoff scores.
Well, Union has its first lead since the 1-0 Buzio goal. You had to think the momentum was on your side at this point.
Yeah, we felt, you know, really good about, you know, having worked out that hard to get back and to get back to even and then to eventually take the lead, it was huge.
Well, a late Lucas Buzio slashing penalty gives Colgate a power play, and that carries over into the third period. Union kills it off, but it wasn't able to get the puck out of its zone, and Ryan Sullivan ties at 1:17 into the third. That had to be a deflating goal after the second period comeback, plus killing off that penalty.
Yeah, it was a frustrating one because we had the puck on our stick, and we just didn't get it down the 200 feet, and, you know, Colgate made us pay.
Well, we actually go a few minutes without any scoring, which was stunning in itself. But midway through the third, the Union has the puck in the Colgate zone. And Lucas Buzio, who scored that first goal of the game, gets his second of the contest.
Very aggressive on this kill. They're coming way up high near the blue line.
Hanley with some speed right side, trying to center it. A lot of room for MacArthur, but the pass deflected. Hanley has it again. Hanley, shot, score! Power play, goal, Garnet Chargers! Union retakes the lead!
A great play all around, started with Hanley sending the puck to the net.
Yeah, really nice job by him. He had control of it and, you know, brought some defenders to him. And Lucas with a great finish, just getting a stick on it. And, you know, we were joking about it, but, you know, he got the first one and then he got the last one, and there was a whole bunch in between.
Well, now it's a matter of holding on to the lead, and Union shuts down Colgate over the final 9:55 of the game to take a wild 7-6 win. I mean, how thrilling was it, and how drained was everyone for a second straight wild game? I know I was drained, and I was in the building this time, man, watching it on TV a couple of Saturdays ago at the Clarkson game, and, you know, putting the paper out and saying, what the hell's going on here? So, but yeah, I mean, as I at the end of the game, I said I was exhausted after that.
Yeah, this has been a stretch of some games that have been as chaotic, you know, that I've ever had. And, you know, not the way we draw it up, but, you know, proud of the guys for finding a way.
Well, I have post-game sound. Let's hear first from Union's Lucas Buzio, Ben Muthesbaugh, and Parker and Nate Hanley.
Well, I want to ask you, about this crazy game. You had one last week, but to play back-to-back ones like this, Lucas, how crazy was that game?
Yeah, I mean, the first period was nuts. Obviously not the way we wanted to start the game at all, but you know, we knew there was a lot of time left in the game, and that was kind of what was said in the intermission, where there was 40 minutes left, and we knew we could turn it around, and that's what we did tonight.
Ben, your thoughts on that? You have 28 goals in the last two games you guys have been involved in.
Yeah, you know, our offense is starting to pick up, and, you know, it's a good time of year to feel good, and, you know, we just got to tighten some things up defensively, and we'll be all set.
Nate, what was said in the locker room after the first period?
Basically just tighten up our defense, and we knew we could score 5, 6, 7. So, I mean, that's what we did.
You got 5 there in the second period, including your penalty shot goal. What did you see on that?
I was just going down. I saw 5 holes, so I shot top corner.
Lucas, for you, 11 seconds into the game, you got to feel good score that goal.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good start to a game. I mean, Connor made a really good play, just passed it to me, and just, you know, kind of just shot on net and ended up in the back of the net.
I bet for you, a couple goals there you scored in the second. Just talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it takes a full squad, and, you know, obviously playing with two great line mates. So, you know, credit to everyone tonight.
Nate, how poor was it to protect the guy? Got the 5-5, but then the guys take the lead there.
Yeah, it was definitely really good. I mean, I think I was the first lead of the night, so we needed it.
What did you see on the shot, though? Was it more of a pass to Lucas that he took
there? Yeah, I mean, I try to pass to him on the ice. Usually doesn't work, so I just shot it at him.
Lucas, what did you see on that?
I mean, yeah, Nate made a good play, just kind of, you know, held on to the puck. And, you know, we won 24 running the ball, so we kind of did that. Just shot on net, and I tipped it, so it worked out.
How big are these 3 points? Because obviously you got games in hand on Clarkson, with them being off this weekend. You take a 3-point lead now over them as we speak in seventh place. So how big was this win tonight?
Yeah, I mean, every game's big, and you know, we want 3 points in every game. So just going forward, you know, we want to tighten things up, like Benny said. But you know, 3 points are big every night, and we want to get all three.
Yeah, you can play a Cordell team if you get 7 shots at Logan sometimes. Like, you had trouble with them the first time out there. What do you got to do this time to get some more shots.
Yeah, we just got to stick to who we are. I think it's been working lately, and you know, if we do that, and you know, we come and show up ready to go at 7 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be all set.
Thank you guys.
And now let's hear from Colgate head coach Mike Carter and his thoughts on the contest.
How crazy a game was that? You can fall down 11 seconds into the game, you score 4 goals in the first period, give up 5 in the second.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Gave up, I think, 4 goals in the last 9 minutes of the second period, too. I mean, great game for the fans, though. I mean, they got their money's worth. They got a penalty shot. They got all kinds of special teams, all kinds of goals. Good for them. Yeah, we weren't, our D were terrible tonight. They're great. They have a great group of forwards, too. They just kept at us. Their special teams were good. Ours weren't that great. That's the difference, you know, it's tough. I thought our goalie for letting in 7 goals, you know, it's not really his fault. Usually you could blame the goalie there, but, you know, I thought he was pretty solid tonight. It just, we turned the puck over way too much.
There was no thought about replacing Dickett?
No, I'm not a big goalie change guy, but, I honestly didn't really blame him for any of the goals. I mean, sure, sometimes you can change a goalie for momentum, but momentum was back and forth a little bit in that crazy game.
Yeah, what do you say your team up 4-1 after the way that everything started there? You know, you got to be feeling good after, you know, give up a goal 11 seconds in. And you got, what do you tell your team to just try to?
Yeah, we were a little bit out of sorts. I mean, even starting the game, I think 11 seconds in, yeah, they scored. It's a funny rink. Things happen fast here, and it was an atmosphere we're not used to. We just told them, just let's play our game. You know, settle down, play our game. We're up 4-1, shift after shift, and then, you know, we give up 5 goals. So the message wasn't great, I guess. Give credit to Union. They just kept coming and coming, and they were good.
How do you bounce back from this tomorrow night against RPI?
Yeah, fortunately, we have experience with this. I'm not sure when's the last time we won a Friday night game? I don't know, but we're
this is all Union's second Friday night win.
We've been a solid Saturday night bounce back team. So we're used to this. We put ourselves in this position way, way, way too much. So Yeah, you know, we're just going to we'll watch the video, talk to some guys, and make some adjustments.
I mean, did you watch a video of the Union-Clarkson game last night, that 8-7 game? I mean, did you think, oh, we'll tighten things up here, and then turns out we have another fire wagon game?
Yeah, no, we did. We actually watched that game live because it was in the afternoon before our game, and it was basically last shot wins, and that's how it started to feel tonight, for sure.
Sort of reminds me of the game you play here in 94. the Union comes back, rallies a late, they get an extra tackle and get a goal. You've had some memorable moments here.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it was a fun game for the fans, and I hope it keeps them coming back.
Union is looking for its first six-point weekend of the season as it gets set to host Cornell, ranked 9th in the USCHO.com poll and 10th in the USA Hockey poll. In the November 21st meeting in Ithaca, Union managed just 19 shots on goal in a 2-1 loss to Cornell. In Saturday's game, Cornell seems to have the jump on Union early on. They are doing a good job possessing the puck. The Garner Chargers can't seem to get much going offensively. How did you see the first 10 minutes of that game?
I thought we were trying to be really responsible and, you know, not make mistakes. And because of it, you know, we were just comfortable throwing pucks into the neutral zone and throwing them in deep. So we were basically breaking the puck out, getting it deep and turning it over. And then, you know, Cornell would get it and come right back down. I thought as the period wore on, we started possessing it a little bit more, which was a big difference.
Yeah, I was going to say slowly but surely Union settles in, and then with 26 seconds left in the period, the Garner Chargers catch a break. DJ Hart tries a one-timer from the right point off a Parker Lindauer pass. I mean, it turned out to be a good shank as the puck ended up on the stick of Ben Muethersbaugh in the slot, and here's what happened.
Out. 40 seconds to go. Did that connect? Well, one linesman had the arm up, the other one waved it off, so no icing.
Well, it didn't matter because
there's a shot. Score! Muller's ball from the high slot finds the bouncing puck and buries it behind Cornwallie, and Union takes the lead late in the first period.
Well, Cornell coach Casey Jones challenged for goalie interference. There appeared to be some contact between Union's Lucas Buzio and Cornell goaltender Alexei Cornwallie. But the referees didn't believe it was enough to overturn the call, so it's 1-0 Union after one. I mean, how happy were you not only get it the game's first goal, but have it stand after video review?
Yeah, you know, nice to get rewarded there, and you know, we kind of looked at it. We thought that, you know, their guy pushed, you know, Lucas into it, but you know, good job by him not continuing the contact and to get out, and really nice shot by Ben.
The second period begins, and it doesn't take long for Union to make it 2-0, thanks to, once again, Ben Muethersbaugh.
Move doesn't work, and a one-on-one the other way. Buzio versus Ashton. Buzio and ridden off by Big Ashton. There's a shot, and he scores!
How nice was it to get that second goal so quickly?
It was really nice, and, you know, Ben's been playing great hockey, but just to be able to realize you can make a mistake and you're still going to be okay was huge.
Well, with 18 left in the second, Nate Hanley forces a turnover in the Cornell zone, and this is what happened next.
Here comes Drew Sutton on the right side, kind of ducks a hit from Hiscock. In behind for Catalano, move to the right side. He coughs up the puck, shot by Hanley, he scores! How did that go in? Nate Hanley with a desperation flip on net, and it gets by Cornogne. And Union goes up 3-0.
Well, Hanley's goal makes it 3-0 and also chases Cornwallie from the game. Jones replaces him with Remington Keppel. Were you surprised by the goalie change?
I was a little bit surprised, you know, but I think he was maybe looking for a spark. I felt like we were, you know, in control a lot of that period, and maybe that he was just looking to jumpstart his team.
Well, it was a dominant period for Union. They have a 3-0 lead after two. Union outshot Cornell 17-8. You had to be pleased with the way the effort there by your squad.
Yeah, that second period might have been one of our best periods of the season. I thought, you know, kind of from the start to finish, we played the way we need to play, especially down the stretch at this time of the season.
Well, the third period gets going, and Union continues to take the play to Cornell. When Cornell did get some opportunities, goalie Cameron Corpy was there to stop them. One of his big saves came with just around 13 minutes left in the third when he made a glove save on Jay Kraft's breakaway, and that preserved the lead at that time. I mean, how big of a save was that?
Yeah, I think when he made that save, everybody knew we were winning that game. It was it was one mistake we made, and Cam was there to really bail us out. He was solid throughout the whole night.
Charlie Major breaks up the shutout, unfortunately, for Canberra with an extra attacker goal with 2:39 left. Parker Lindauer clinches the win on an empty net goal with 27 seconds left, and it's a 4-1 win for Union and the first six-point weekend of the season for the team. You know, he took advantage of Clarkson having the weekend off. The Garner Chargers moved from a tie for seventh with Clarkson to sixth place, 5 points behind fourth place Harvard for that final ECAC Hockey Tournament first round slot. I mean, how big was that for the team?
Yeah, I think it was huge. I mean, going into that weekend, you're probably not even considering, you know, a first round bye. You know, and that's something that, you know, we mathematically were alive, but you really didn't think you had much of a chance at it. Just would need a lot of things to happen, and a lot of really good things happened for us. And you know, now we're in position that if we can, you know, take care of business, we're going to at least host a playoff game. And you know, if a lot of things go our way, we could get that by.
Yeah. Well, Corby made 28 saves in the game where I wrote that he looked like his early season self. He was confident, square to the shooter, controlling rebounds. Between his illness, the lower body injury, and having some subpar games, do you think Corby has his confidence back?
I think he feels really good right now. And, you know, again, I agree with you completely. I thought that was, you know, what he looked like early in the season, and, you know, played with a ton of confidence.
I have post-game sound. Let's start with goalie Cameron Corby and forwards Ben Muethesbog and Parker Lindauer.
Well, guys, you took advantage of the situation here with Clarkson's off this weekend. You got the 6 points. You guys are now in sixth place. Start with you, Cameron. How big was this win, especially the whole weekend?
I think it was huge. Obviously, two really good opponents coming to our building, and just to take all 6 points is really big for us.
Yeah, you know, it's huge. It was a great team performance, and it's nice to get the first sweep of the year.
Parker?
Yeah, same thing. You know, like up and down the lineup, it was great from everybody. And just building on the end of the season is always a big thing for us heading into playoffs, and we're just going to keep climbing from here on out.
That first period, it seemed like Cornell had you guys penned in a little bit, first 10, 11 minutes, but towards the end, you started to get control. And then how big was it for Ben's goal there late to get the lead and take that into the first intermission?
Yeah, I mean, I have like all the faith and trust in the world in our guys, back end and goalie, so I didn't really feel too uncomfortable in the first period. I mean, we walked out of there 1-0, so I wouldn't say they took it to us. I think we walked out of there up 1-0. So.
Ben, talk about that goal. It's sort of a fluky one because Nick shanks the shot for the right point, but then Puck gets to you and you put it in.
Yeah, DJ shanked the shot.
It was DJ and said Nick, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, just right place, right time, and I got a lucky bounce there.
How big was that goal there to get things going?
Yeah, it definitely gave us some momentum going into the intermission.
You scored again in the early in the second. You've had the second straight two-goal game, 5 goals in the last 3 games. I mean, are you getting hot at the right time?
I mean, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, right time of year. Everyone's kind of starting to click. And, you know, obviously we were struggling earlier this year, but this is the right time to get hot for anyone.
And how big was that second period? Because you got the 2 goals. You chased Corwaye from the game. You really dominated the big red in that second period. So how pleased were you guys with that second period?
Yeah, we came out strong and, you know, just stuck to our game plan. And, you know, it paid off.
Care for you about that second period. How big was that?
Yeah, I think it was huge. Obviously, we killed off a big penalty there in the second period, and then this guy and Nate buried a few goals, and we were up 3-0.
For you, I mean, obviously last night was sort of an anomaly. We were up 13 goals in the game, and yeah, I don't think maybe one may have been you want to have back. But how big was this game for you? Because I mean, you've been fighting it a little bit, you know, illness, injury. You look like the Cameron Corby of the first part of the season tonight. Anyway, how big was that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough stretch there, obviously, fighting illness and then not playing so well and then getting hurt and dealing with that. So it just feels really good I can contribute to the team.
What does this do for your confidence?
Definitely helps.
What do you guys think about Carrick's game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he was incredible tonight. The game wasn't going to be close without him in there. And obviously, down the stretch, we want everybody to be playing their best, and we'll stick in front of Cam the whole time and help him out as much as we can. But we know if we make a mistake, he's got our back too.
Ben?
Yeah, he was tremendous tonight. And, you know, obviously, like everyone says, you know, your goalie's got to give you a chance to win. And he did that back-to-back nights now, so that was great.
Talk about that save you had on the breakaway there in the third period. What did you see?
I don't know. He just had a lot of speed. I figured he was going to shoot it just because he had pressure on his back. So.
Okay. Is that a cheapy goal they got?
Whatever. It's probably one.
Thanks, guys.
Now let's hear from Cornell head coach Casey Jones. The first question is asked by Jay McNally, who covers Cornell for the university's newspaper, the Cornell Daily Sun.
Just your general thoughts on that game.
Yeah, I thought we didn't get rewarded for a first period. I thought we were really good physical, got some crispness to us. You know, they get a broken stick bounce and, you know, it rattled us a little bit. But that's the best I've seen them play in the last little bit, I'll be honest with you. In terms of crispness out there, we're hard to play against. I thought we got a little bit frustrated with the fact we couldn't score with the way we were playing initially. And, you know, Corns probably wants a third one back, you know, and then, you know, from there just got leaky on us here. So, but overall, that's the way the game went.
Is that why you pulled Cornway in there on that third goal? Was it,
yeah, just looking for a change of momentum right there at that point in time. I mean, you know, I 100% want, I know he wants that third one back a little bit there. I thought there was a goaltender interference, you know, we called it because of the call they had on this last weekend. Kid definitely made contact with his glove on the first goal. But they said that, you know, hey, the explanation they gave us was the exact explanation we got last week, and the goal was counted. So it's like a replay. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I probably shouldn't say anything else, but I assumed all the referees had seen that replay when there's a contentious play like that, but they hadn't seen it.
I'll say it for you. The officials have been inconsistent with a whole lot of calls this year. That's my thought.
Yeah. You know, I just thought that their education with that, but it is what it is. You know, they hadn't seen it, so I couldn't be mad at them. You know what I mean?
Offensively, this team has been kind of rolling recently, but this weekend coming away with only a couple of goals. What do you think can happen?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. We got frustrated tonight because of it too, because we had pucks in our sticks with the right guys with scoring chances. The issue I thought initially for a large part of the games, I mean, we were heavily out shooting them in shot attempts, but we missed the net on a ton of our scoring chances. So, you know, and especially, you know, they've had some trouble with stopping pucks. And I thought he saw everything. I thought we lacked net front presence, our power play. Every shot that we replayed, he didn't have anybody in front of him, and he was seeing him. And the other thing, he didn't give any rebounds up. So kudos to him.
What difference did you see in the Union team tonight that you didn't see in November?
I thought they were opportunistic tonight. I thought they were opportunistic. I do. They, you know, they got some sticks. You know, both breaks they had there in the first and second goal, both on the wrong guy's stick. You know what I mean? The rebound goes right to Mothersbaugh, and the first one he puts it in. You know, he's a goal scorer. So sometimes you get those scoring chances. It's not on the right guy's stick, and it was the right guy for them that gave them an opportunity to get the lead. So I just thought we had to sustain our first period, and we did.
That second period was kind of a big difference from the first. Like, what did you kind of notice after that period?
I don't know if that first goal deflated us because we didn't get rewarded for frustrated with not scoring and getting chances and same as last night. So, yeah, that's what we'll have to reflect on, because I thought that we definitely couldn't sustain what the crispness of our first period. I thought we just the difference was we turned pucks over. You know what I mean? We had chances to move pucks and chances to go north, and we started going east and west a little bit, and that was a change I felt that we just couldn't get out of in the second period.
What was so it looked like the conversation between you and Josh here at the end of the game was not cordial, like the little discussion?
It was the best I've seen to play. I did say that. I just thought there was a play there that I didn't like in the last little bit with a high hit, and that's who I am.
The post-game handshake line, you and Casey did not seem to be exchanging pleasantries, good pleasantries after the game. And Casey mentioned in his post-game that he was upset about maybe a late hit by Ollie Chesler on one of his players late in the game. And what was going on there?
Yeah, Ollie is a physical player, and, you know, he's going to play until the final buzzer. And He stepped up and hit a guy. I think he got up. He did get up a little high. I don't think it was anything with, you know, ill intention. Maybe could have been a minor penalty. I think it's, you know, Casey's a passionate coach, cares a lot about his players, and I think he's just, you know, was caught up in the game. He was voicing his opinion that he was unhappy about that, and I thought, you know, they had a couple guys that were running around there at the end too. So nothing too bad. And it just was maybe a little bit back and forth.
Have you chatted since then?
We spoke right after the game. I mean,
after Saturday.
No, we haven't spoken since, you know, after Saturday. I brought my son down and, you know, just said hello and wished him the best. Yeah.
Well, let's take a break. And when we return, we'll preview this weekend's ECAC hockey games against Harvard on Friday, excuse me, and Dartmouth on Saturday at M&T Bank Center, the final home games of the regular season. And we'll answer your questions from our listeners. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
The ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.
The Daily Gazette has some great subscription deals happening. Sign up today at www.dailygazette.com. And as always, when credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC Hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. I'm joined by Union Med's head hockey coach Josh Halji. Well, Josh, this weekend marks the final regular season home games at M&T Bank Center. Union will host Harvard on Friday at 7 p.m., and then it's Dartmouth at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Following the game, Union's nine seniors will be honored. Well, let's talk about the Harvard game first. The Garnet Chargers trail the Crimson by 5 points for that fourth and final ECAC Hockey Tournament first-round bye. You'll need a six-point weekend, plus have RPI beat Harvard on Saturday to move ahead of the Crimson. However, Princeton is in fifth place, 4 points ahead of Union. The Tigers host Colgate and Cornell this weekend. Will there be any scoreboard watching, or are you just going to worry about Union taking care of its own business?
Yeah, we got to take care of our own business, and you know nothing really matters if we don't play well. And even if you get some wins and you're backing into the playoffs, like and not playing your best hockey, it doesn't matter. We got to make sure we're playing our best hockey at when the playoffs come around.
Well, last time Union played Harvard, the Crimson took a 4-0 victory on January 19th at Bright Landry Hockey Center in Boston. Union controlled the play early in the first period, but it took a penalty midway through the first. And even though Union killed that penalty, Harvard took control of the game. Looking back at that, why was Harvard able to take the game over?
Yeah, they did a really nice job just staying above us and frustrating us. Their D were really gapped up and turned our forwards over quite a bit. We weren't able to exit with possession a lot, and when we did, you know, they were there to stop us. I thought they definitely earned that win.
What will you need to do this time?
Well, I think we got to make sure again we're chipping pucks behind them and putting their D into some foot races. I think for us too, we. You know, just got to make sure that we're able to push a little bit out, push them out a little bit, and create a little space underneath.
Well, then it's Dartmouth on Saturday. The Big Green have won 8 straight against the Garden Chargers, including a 4-2 win on January 30th at Thompson Arena in Hanover, New Hampshire. That was a game that Union could have won. It was a 2-2 when a turnover led to a Brock Cummings goal that broke the tie with 2:50 left in regulation. And the Keita Nakora empty net goal with 36.3 seconds left clinched the victory. I mean, how frustrating was that game? And plus the fact that the team had a few days to think about it because that was the only game Union played that weekend.
Yeah, that was a hard one. And You know, obviously for us, Dartmouth's had our number, and you know, we were right there with them, and we let them off the hook, and a frustrating one.
What's going to be the key on Saturday to get that elusive win over Dartmouth?
I mean, we just got to honor our seniors and compete. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Is this group has been really special. They've done a ton of great things for this program, and we owe it to them by having to have a great game.
Well, 9 seniors will be honored after the game on Saturday. I'd like to get some quick thoughts on them, starting with forward Brandon Burr.
Dynamic, pretty special player for me, as you know, committed him to Clarkson, and then you know he came over after leaving there and followed through the transfer portal. So tremendously talented
forward Ethan Benz.
Great person, plays the right way, has really established himself as a key piece of our lineup.
Forward Nate Hanley.
As talented as they come, extremely gifted offensive player, has developed into a really good 200-foot player as well.
Forward Carter Corpy.
Plays with pace, can be physical. You know, was the first player to commit when, you know, I took the job, so owe him a great deal.
Forward Parker Lindauer.
Parker joined us from the transfer portal. This is his second year as a leader for us, plays in all situations, and again, a great person.
Defenseman Cal Mell.
Cal Mell plays the right way, plays hard. He's one of those people for us that probably doesn't get as much of the accolades, but is very valuable.
Defenseman Brendan Miles.
A really good skater, can move pucks, again came over in the transfer portal, has been a great addition.
And finally, defenseman and team captain Nick Young.
Yeah, heart and soul guy for us. Plays extremely, extremely hard. People don't like playing against him, and he wears the Union logo with pride.
Well, they'll all be honored after the game on Saturday. It's a 5 o'clock start for the opening faceoff, so you get a chance, come on over. We always like to take questions from our listeners. Boy, we got a lot of questions from our listeners this week. We'll start with Ryan Fay. He's writing, does Josh Howji look back at this past weekend as a turning point of the season, and what were his takeaways from the season's first meetings with Harvard and Dartmouth?
Yeah, from those first ones, I mean, those were both games that we felt like we, had a chance, and if we, make a play here or there, we could, be a little bit, it could have been a little bit different result. From this past weekend, I thought it was really good hockey. I thought the guys realized what it takes for us to be successful and, really executed it for, 5 of the 6 periods.
David Tristick has a couple of questions. Going back to the North Country games and along with the Colgate game this week, past weekend, you had back-to-back games where the team surrendered 6-plus goals. First, how did you turn things around so fast for the Cornell game? And second, what can be done to limit the odd man rushes that plagued the two high-scoring matchups?
Well, it really stems from our forwards and their ability to track back. If they're not working back, then our defensemen and goaltenders are left out to dry. And I thought you just saw an unbelievable effort from them, in the second and third against Colgate. And then, the whole game against Cornell, just how hard they were working back and just not circling. They weren't taking any chances. They were playing the right way.
David also says the forecheck was incredible in the Cornell game. I can't recall seeing a Cornell team being stuck in their own end so much and struggle through the center ice. Anything to that point, having coached alongside Casey Jones and knowing his system, the anticipation of where they were going with the puck stood out.
Yeah, I all the credit goes to the guys. I mean, they work so hard and, again, weren't circling. They were stopping and starting. Good sticks. Just all the little things we talk about, they were executing.
Jim Calhoun writes, great weekend, two very different games. Great offensive comeback on Friday and great defensive effort on Saturday. Who will be starting goal this weekend?
Just like always, we'll make that decision on Thursday. But, I think, Cam did a nice job really bouncing back on Saturday. Not that Friday was bad, but just he could have really felt bad for himself not getting the result that he wanted as far as the numbers, but got the win, and then a nice win for him on Saturday.
Jarrett LaCourte writes, is Brandon Burr expected to be back this weekend?
He's been skating. We're hoping to have him back on Friday.
Andrew Jarrett says Cameron Corpy's body language, net movement, and post-game interactions with his teammates indicate that he is refreshed after his two-week hiatus and ready to contribute to the Union's quest for a championship. Union has unprecedented depth in all positions, including goalie. How can this depth be used to maximize fresh legs and minds during Union's ECAC championship run?
Yeah, you know, we have the ability to bring some different people in and, you know, give guys the opportunity you know, to be held accountable. And that's the one nice thing is when you have depth, you can, if someone's not given their best, you can hold them accountable. And that's what it allows us to do.
Yeah. Andrew also writes, I do believe Union will put it all together and become a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs, regardless of their initial bracket position. They should continue to focus on work ethic and fundamentals and not get too concerned about seeding. With hot goaltending, solid fundamentals, and break some puck luck, they can and will beat every team in the league, including Dartmouth.
Well, I'm right there with you. I got a lot of belief in the group, and I think if we put everything together at the right time, no one's going to want to play us.
Adam Machano is asking, Coach, after a big win over a ranked Cornell team, what's the biggest challenge in getting the group reset mentally for another ranked opponent like Dartmouth, and how do you keep the focus on details instead of the momentum?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, it's all about Harvard right now. So as big as the game is on Saturday against Dartmouth, we got to be ready to go on Friday, and it's a huge game for us. If we want any chance of catching Harvard, we have to win.
Well, let's wrap this up with excuse me, sorry about that, folks. Let's wrap this up with Union Professor Brian Cohen. The team seemed to have a little more wind in their sails than other weeks, especially in the third periods. Did Halji do something different in practice last week?
No, I think we've been, you know, pretty mindful at this point of the year of just conserving our energy and trying to limit practice time. You know, we've switched it up now. Instead of practicing 4 days a week, we're only practicing three as a team, and one day is a designated skill day where we're just working on, you know, individual skill and you know, trying to limit the physical play.
Brian also is asking, do the players and or coaches think through the scenarios of who has to win or lose to get them to the bye?
That's something that the players, we don't want them worrying about that at all. You know, I'm well aware, but I know Brian's, Professor Cohen's a pretty smart man, so if you got anything for me, I'll take it.
And finally, Brian writes, I guess not just in practice, but also were you rolling the lines differently in the game?
No, we were, you know, we're just kind of matching the way we wanted to. You know, that's the one nice thing about being at home is you can kind of dictate the matchups.
Thanks, everybody, for the questions. Very insightful questions. We appreciate it as always. And if you have a question for Josh, you can email him to me at shot, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also even post them on my Instagram page. That's at Slapshots. You can send them also via Blue Sky X and Threads at Slapshots. The Daily Gazette ECAC Hockey Faceoff selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those before the first game on Friday. To play, send your picks to shot at dailygazette.com. Well, Josh, we got a lot of stuff done today on this podcast, and appreciate that. And we'll talk this weekend, and good luck.
Yeah, sounds great. A lot of great questions, so appreciate it.
All right, that's Josh Halji. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, we'll preview the Union men's and women's weekends. On the men's side, I'll talk with the nine Garnet Chargers seniors. The Union women face Clarkson in the ECAC Hockey Tournament first round game at 3 p.m. Friday at Chiel Arena in Potsdam. I'll talk to Union head coach Tony Macy, defenseman Stephanie Bork, and forward Matty Delini. And then I'll talk with Harvard head coach Ted Donato, whose team comes here Friday to M&T Bank Center. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.